I speak to you in God's holy name. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. We are in the readings of the Christian Church throughout the world in what's known as Year C. The years change in the first Sunday of Advent, but we really don't see the impact of these readings until we come to this part of the year, when from now until December, or the last Sunday of November, we are reading in the heart of the Pentecost season. And each year is year A, B, or C, and this is year C. And over a three-year cycle, the heart of the scriptures are read out loud in not just the Anglican Church, but we follow this in the Roman Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the United Church, and most of the churches of the Christian world follow this routine of reading. So there's a sense of connectedness. So across most of the Christian world today, we are focusing in on this reading from the Gospel and all the other readings. So today is the day that Christians are, in most of the Christian churches, thinking about mental illness. For that's what this is about. Mental illness. For in Jesus' time, they didn't fully understand about mental illness. They felt that someone who was bipolar or whatever else was the diagnosis was possessed by a demon. And that these demons took over the person and their own sort of normal skills would be gone. And people were afraid of mentally ill people, and they would have a tendency, like they did with anything else at this time, to shun them, to put them aside. This man, the example in the Gospel today, was shackled. If he had leprosy, he would have been outcasted to a leper colony. And other illnesses were treated in much the same way. And there was a metaphor here of Jesus healing this man, and that the demons were put into swine. And of course, swine was the lowest of the animals for the Jewish people, but these people, where the swine were in a Gentile country, and they had no difficulty with pigs. It was a wholly, completely different kind of way. So the Jewish people would see that the demons were unclean and put into the swine, but the Gentiles would be afraid because this was their livelihood, going into the sea and drowning. Mental illness has always been with us, will always be with us, and the full understanding of mental illness, we still don't have it all, though we're getting better. And all of us, to some degree, it's been said by various scientists, have some degree of mental illness. It is a common factor for all human beings. Now, most of the mental illness is manageable and not obsessive and overcoming. But all of us from time to time have instances when we think that someone perhaps is against us, or I wonder why somebody said that. Must be I've done something wrong. So we all have these kinds of feelings about inadequacy, which is a part of mental illness. And if you never felt inadequate, that's another form of mental illness. So it's always there. We always are challenging ourselves and wondering, am I okay? Am I okay? And the first message I want to give us all today is that we are okay. And the second message is we have to learn to love one another as we are. For the beginning of health is to be loving ourselves and to be loved and accepted by others. It doesn't mean we have to love the behavior, but we can love the person. And we can love ourselves even though we don't love all of our behaviors. And we all have times when we look back at ourselves and we think, oh, why did I ever do that? What was going on in my life that caused me to say or do something? Usually it's from inadequacy. Now, I believe in being transparent. And I, as a minister, have done stupid, stupid things. And one of the most stupid things I ever did was when I was young. How many of us have done stupid things when we were young? And I was newly ordained, and I was in Arishat in Cape Breton in my first summer responsibility. I was ordained, and I'd been there probably a month. And we had a very small community, smaller than we are here. And we had a series of deaths. We had on a Monday, we had a death. And in those days, there was virtually no such thing as cremation. So burials were happening right after the death. So Monday, Wednesday, or Thursday was the burial. Then the next week it was a Tuesday and a Friday, or something like that in sequence. And we were going out of this cemetery, and this young woman came up to me and said, David, who's going to be the next to die? I said, I don't know. How would I know that? Oh, come on, you are a clergy. You know everything. God tells you. And I stupidly played into that. This is very embarrassing. But we all do it. You know, we have to sort of be transparent. So I said, well, the next person who's going to die, it'll be Laura Cutler, and it'll be next Saturday we have the funeral. Now, Laura Cutler was a woman who was not loved in the community. She was isolated and abandoned, and I was virtually the only person who went and visited her. This is very embarrassing to tell you. But because she was a telephone operator, and she would listen in to all their phone calls. It was the old system, you know, with the plugs? A cord board. And so she would listen in, and they all knew it. And so they despised poor Laura. And I knew that Laura was not well. She was getting an operation, which I don't know if they do anymore. It's called stripping veins. And so she was going to Halifax this was in Arishat in Cape Breton, for this stripping operation. She went down on the Sunday for the operation. On Monday she had the operation. She developed blood clots. She died. And we had the funeral on Saturday. I never got asked again who was going to die. But I share with you, as I look back on it, how stupid I was and why did I do that. It came from my own sense of inadequacy and trying to make an impression. But I've learned from that to keep my yap shut. But also to have a sense that God loves me and that I am made whole. And that God loved me in the midst of my own weakness. But to also reflect and talk about it. And to become transparent about our own mistakes. And to know that we can overcome our mistakes and move ahead in our lives. And part of working towards mental health is to trust in God and trust that we are on a journey of health. And even though we make mistakes, it doesn't mean we are our mistake. We are a human being who makes a mistake, who may have some moments of emotional inadequacy, but we can move forward with God's help. And seeking help. I went to counseling over this incident that I told you about because I felt so stupid. why did I do that? And I sat down with a counselor and we talked about it and spent time understanding the dynamics that lay underneath it. So on today, when we think about mental health and we think about Jesus healing the person who was possessed by demons, to recognize that we all have our demons, some huge, some not so huge, but we all have them. It's part of the human condition. And we need to move away from being ashamed and to recognize it's just who I am as a Homo sapien. And that by confronting those issues, we can get help and we also can be a help to others. And that it's okay to talk about it. And that we are striving for mental health doesn't mean that we are beyond the pale. When I was a young guy, when living in Quebec, we used to put people away almost like how this man was dealt with in our story today in the gospel. We would talk about, we knew that as kids, the names of the hospitals where mentally ill people were sent and shunned. I mean, you know the names are here in BC, what they were. The Prairies had another name for their hospital in each province, Pinoca in Alberta. Somebody told me earlier in the Bible study what the one was for Saskatchewan. Verdun was the one in Quebec. Those of you who grew up in Quebec remember hearing about Verdun. Nova Scotia Hospital was in Nova Scotia, and there, every place had a place where people went. But today we don't do that. Now there may be the odd case that is so severe that for their own health and the health of others, there needs to be some institutionalization. But we need to see ourselves as a community of healing and health. And let's get over the stigma that mental health is something we all strive for, but having issues and difficulties is also part of the human condition. And so today, as we come to the Eucharist and we receive the sacrament, we know that God's love is there for us and that we are to be part of the loving community which we receive each other as we are. And we are a place where gradually we can learn to trust ourselves and trust others and be a community of healing. And I pray that as we receive the sacrament, we make a commitment to ourselves again that through God's love, we are a community committed to healing. May God bless us all as we journey in love and in health. Amen.